I don't find it particularly easy to stand up. I don't think many people do, in all fairness, and talk to a crowd of people. But I am glad to be here, and I am glad that for what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for me in my life. And I'm happy to come and to share that with you. And I just thank you for the invitation to come. Thank you. And it's the first time I've been in your church, so it's especially nice to be here. I am just very, very ordinary, just normal, run-of-the-mill person. But as even our scripture text that was read there earlier, I am one of those people who is washed in the blood, and I am free from the wrath to come. And so I am in the family. I'm a child of God. And so in God's eyes, that makes me special. And I just thank and praise him for that. I just want to just read a scripture text from Ecclesiastes chapter 12. And it's just one verse. And this was written by, God said, is the wisest man that ever lived. So I suppose anything that he had to say, had said this inspired by God. In the verse 13 of chapter 12, it says, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter." This was Solomon looking back, really, on his conclusion about life. Verse 13, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man." And you know, I suppose the testimony, the best place to start, at the beginning. So I was born into a Christian home, to Thomas and Olive. And I have an older brother and a younger brother. I was in the middle, and we're just like sort of stepping stones, quite close in age. And my parents and us then attended Tendragee Free Presbyterian Church. So I was dedicated there, and I was married there. So I'm born and bred Free Presbyterian. And it was a great church to grow up in. There was always very faithful Sunday school teachers there, children's workers, youth fellowship. I had plenty of fellowship with other young people, and it really was a blessing to grow up there as a young person. So at home, having Christian parents, and also going to a faithful church where God's word was faithfully proclaimed. From a young age, I was under, I was always aware from an early age that I was a sinner and that I needed the Lord Jesus to come in and take away my sin and make me a new creature. And I remember, it was just at the age of six, that I remember kneeling with my mummy at the bedside and asking the Lord Jesus to come in and save me. And you know, I'm so thankful that we have a God who saves children. And while it's brilliant, the more mature Christian you become, that you should be learning more and more about God's word. But it's just wonderful that God, even when you grasp the gospel message in a simple way, in simple faith, and that you claim that for yourself and ask the Lord to come into your heart and save you, that he'll do that. And I just praise God that he does save young children, and he saved me at the age of six. And I'm so thankful to him for his mercy on that. Now, we had a fairly happy childhood. Always, I only have happy memories, really, mostly of childhood. But whenever we were quite young, I was only seven at the time, my mum and dad's marriage broke up. And that, we were a Christian home. And I know that that shouldn't have happened, but it did happen. And it's always, I suppose, really brought it home to me and taught me from an early age that you just can't rely, because a husband and wife are both saved, that everything, you don't need to ask the Lord to help you day by day in your marriage. And that was very, very sad. And probably not really that common at the time, more so now, unfortunately. But mum and dad, they broke up when we were quite young. And then whenever I was about 12, My mum had rheumatoid arthritis, and it's quite a common disease. I'm sure most of you are aware of it. And she had quite a severe rheumatoid arthritis. And whenever I was 12, my mum, actually the same age that I am now, my mummy passed away to be with the Lord. And I remember the night the day that occurred, and I remember that night. And I was only 12 years old, and obviously that was a difficult day for all of us, me and my two brothers in particular. And I remember being out at my granny's house, and when everyone had gone to bed, I remember, cross or annoyed, or how I really would have described it, but I remember thinking to myself, I knew the verse, because obviously it's quoted so widely, and even at 12, I knew the verse that all things work together for good to those who love the Lord, to those who are called according to his promise. And I remember thinking to myself and doubting that verse and thinking, well, how could it possibly be for the good of three young children to lose their mother at such a young age? And as soon as I said that, a feeling of guilt really came over me and bowed my head. And I really felt that what I had thought was wrong, that I had questioned God's will for my life. And I say, I was only 12 years old, and to tell you the truth, I don't even know if I was just flicking through the Bible or what it was, but I was reading, I opened my Bible, and I was reading in Job 23, and when I came to verse 10, and it said, "But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold." And you know, it was just a peace that came over that night, and I knew that although this was a trial, it was obviously for me at that age, I felt as tough as it could get. But I knew that the Lord knew the way. He knew what was ahead, and this was his will. And I really did get a peace to accept that was what was meant to be in my life and in my brother's life. And we were able to accept that Mum was taken home to be with the Lord. And I'm just thankful that I had 12 years with her for her to be able to be such a good example to me as she was as a Christian mother. So we went then to live with my granny and granda. And we were an unusual household because my great-granny was living there as well. My granny was looking after my great-granny. And my granny had sort of what you'd call a wee late one. And I had an uncle who was living there still too, because he's only 5 years older than me. And so there was my great granny and my granny and granda and my uncle and me and my two brothers. And my dad then was next door, sort of two houses on the farm. And so there was really four generations living under the one roof, which not everybody can say they grew up like that. But that's how it was. We were even like the Waltons in our house. And but it was good, and we were looked after well. And then I went off to university, and I trained then to be a physiotherapist and began work as a physio. And during that time then I met who is now my husband, Philip. And we dated for about 6 years, and then we got married. And then, of course, when you get married, you say, well, where are we going to live? So Philip was Lisburn and I was Tendragee. And somehow we ended up then in Achillea. And we wanted to live in the country, and because I always had done that. And we couldn't afford anything in the country, newly married. So we looked, and we thought that just wasn't going to happen. And then I happened to be walking up the street one day, and I saw this wee place that we could afford. And when we went to look at it, there was a very good reason why we could afford it. But anyhow, we bumped up the Loch Roads at Achillea towards right on the edge of Loch Ney. And we ended up, I said, there's no way we would live out here in these bumpy roads. I mean, I was used to the country, but this was something else. So it was so bumpy. And just, it wasn't near Philip's work, and it wasn't near my work, and it wasn't near Philip's family, and it wasn't near my family. And somehow we ended up signing on the dotted line. Just didn't seem to make much sense. And but anyway, that's where we ended up. So then it's where will we go to church? So we thought about it, and we tell you that we weren't just quite sure. But I was missing my home church, you know, in Tendragay, and that didn't really, that wasn't really sensible. But, you know, we were just married, and I thought, oh, well, we'll nip down there. And then Philip had been on the committee in Dunmurry, so we were going to Dunmurry, and we just hadn't decided yet. And then we were talking to people, and they said, well, would you not go to Achillea when you live there? And I said, oh, I didn't know there was a church in Achillea. And we didn't realise that Lisburn had just started an outreach work. And we literally just started in Achillea when we got married. So then the first, we said, well, we'll try there and see. So we went up the first Sunday, and there was six, including us. And I was like, coming from Tendragay, it was quite a good-sized congregation. I was like, oh, no, I don't. You know, the truth of the matter was, I came home and thought, oh, no, I don't want to go there. It was just, there's nobody there. And as well as that, obviously, a married couple, we sort of thought maybe we'd have some children. And I thought, there's not one child in it. I'm sure there would have no company, or, you know, I couldn't see that being the church for us. But so for a couple more Sundays then, we went here, there, and we were going to go down to Tendragay then, this particular Sunday. And the two of us just really felt that it wasn't right, you know, to drive past Achillea. So we went there, and I think maybe it was an improvement that there was maybe 10 including us or something. And then we thought, well, we're just going to have to get this settled, you know, with the Lord. So we prayed about it. And we knew that the right thing for us to do was to go to Achillea. And so we did. And, you know, the Lord has just blessed us so much when we went there. And I began to see why the Lord brought me in particular into such a small church. Because in the early days, whenever something needed to be done, you know, and you'd say, well, this, maybe this or that needs to be done, you know, and you just sort of, you know, there was nobody else to do it. So you just had to get in there and get it done. And I just really believe, and it's awful to have to say about myself, but I really believe that if I had stayed in a bigger church, I would probably have said, oh, well, they're the people that do the, you know, the outreach, and they're the people that do the children's work, and, you know, they're the people that do the catering, whatever it would be, and just let them get on with it. And I would just still sit there doing nothing. And I just really believe the Lord brought me into a smaller work, you know, to sort of get shove me on and push me on into the work so that I just had to do it. And then I realised whenever I was actually more involved in the work, like I became a Sunday school teacher, and I realised that the burden for the work increased so much whenever I was actually involved. And when I think of the children in the Sunday school, I think even my wee first Sunday school class, in that first year, there's two of the wee boys not saved, and both those wee boys get saved in the first year. I remember their mummy, speaking to their mummy, and, you know, I had a burden for the work before, but not so much when I was right in it. And I'd really encourage you, you know, maybe you'd say, oh, well, they do that, and they would do it better than me. Or, you know, anyone who's involved in the Lord's work, even here in your congregation, to have one more person to help, like, you could never have enough. Until every single person in your town is saved, then there's not enough people working for the Lord in your town. And, you know, I know that the people who already do work, they would just love it if there was one more person to come and help them. And I just like to encourage you that it's our duty to do that for the Lord. But it will also be so much better for you as well, because I know that's why the Lord brought me into a smaller work. And I just thank him and praise him for that. And as for Noah not having enough friends, well, it's a very young church now, and it has grown. And there's so many children in it that Noah has enough friends, doesn't know what to do. He's plenty of friends. And it taught us as well, you just have to do what the Lord wants you to do. And he knows the desire of your heart. He knows what you want for your children. He knows what you want for your family. And he'll work that all out for you. And I just thank him and praise him that even those desires that we had, that the Lord even fulfilled them for us in Achillea as a church. And I just thank the Lord for bringing me to it. And so then Noah, as I said, Noah was born. We were 6 years married when Noah came along. And, of course, we were delighted. And when he was born, I just thought he was the most gorgeous child ever was. And we were just so thankful. And I always say this is not really to be, I hope it's not, doesn't really sound boastful or anything like that. But at this point in my life, whenever our little baby boy was born, I remember thinking it was the perfect life. I had the perfect life. I was saved on the way to heaven at a good church and good fellowship. I had a lovely husband. I had my little baby boy. I had a lovely home. We took a holiday if we wanted. We had everything we needed. And there was no stresses really at all. And I would always say it was like the perfect life. But after Noah was born, I didn't feel like I had a lot of energy. I was always the sort of person that was, you know, go, go, go. And I just didn't feel like I was picking up the kind of energy that I normally had. And so initially I didn't go to the doctor, but eventually anyway, I eventually took really quite ill and went into kidney failure. And I didn't realise, but I had a thing called Wegener's granulomatosis, which is like an autoimmune disease. And as I say, my kidneys shut down, and really that my immune system had decided that the organs in my body were foreign and had started to attack the organs in my body. And so I was admitted to hospital, and I remember the consultant coming round to give me the news after they'd done the kidney biopsy, that they were pretty sure this is what it was, and I had to start chemotherapy then that night. And that basically they weren't quite sure if that was going to work or not, and if that wasn't the case, then I wouldn't have very long to live. I know I was a year old at the time, and I remember it was obviously big news. And but it's difficult to describe really how that felt at the time, but it was almost as if it was like a storm, and I knew that it was something really big, but it was almost as if I was in a bubble it's hard to really describe, but I think that God's word describes it better than I can. And it says in Psalm 37 and verse 39, "But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble." And of course, it's talking about the Lord. And I can really testify that it was the Lord who was my strength and Philip's strength in the time of that trouble. And they had told me that my kidneys were completely gone and that they wouldn't return the biopsy. There was no normal tissue at all. And but bit by bit, they started to work again. And we got over the few months of treatment. And, you know, Lord, it was a time, in a way, I don't want to repeat it because I felt so ill at the time. But in another sense, the Lord really drew so close to us. It was a very particular, unusual time in our lives. And the Lord really gives you the help that you need. And when you need lots of help, he gives you lots of help. And he was so good to us. And every day I would get a promise, just exactly what I would need from his word. His word was such a comfort to me through that time. And, you know, I just thank him that he has been my strength in the time of trouble. And I've picked up so well, done so well. And I just was so thankful to the Lord that my kidneys started to work again. And I have this problem, but I'm really very healthy now and doing very, very well. And only the Lord knows what the future holds. And I just thank him for taking me through that so much. And, you know, as people, we expect that we're going to live forever, that we, you know, somehow we're cheated, or we are, it's not fair if we have sickness or loss or some kind of heartache or disappointment, that somehow we just don't see that that is all part of life. And if you're a Christian, then it's all part of the walk. And that takes us back really to Job chapter 23 and verse 10. "But he knoweth the way that I take, and when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold." And you know, the Lord is in control of that trial. Nothing's getting out of his reach. Everything that happens to you is in God's control. And you know, the coming forth as gold isn't that you just come forth as a really super duper person, you know, that everybody wants to know. That's not what the Bible means in that verse. What it means is that it's fashioning us or making us to be more like Jesus, to making us more the people that we're meant to be, because God knows our future. He knows the situations that we find ourselves in, and he knows really what we need. He knows the type of person that we need to be to match those situations. And that's what our afflictions are for. And, you know, as I say, I'm not saying I would want it back because it was really tough. And anyone who has maybe had chemo treatment and things like that, you know, I know I'm not the only person. There's thousands and thousands of people have to go through these trials all the time. And I don't want it to seem like I just flew through it and I never, you know, every day was a breeze. It was no problem to me because that wasn't the case. You know, I remember one particular memory was very strong. I remember Noah playing on the floor, and as I say, he was only 8 year old, and at that time we didn't know if I was going to pull through or not. And I remember looking at him and thinking, you know, I did not want to leave my baby son. And honestly, I thought to myself, I thought my heart was going to break in two. And I said, you know, I learned what heartache was, because I don't think I knew to that point. And the thought of him growing up without me was a heartache. And I sort of thought that it was like a physical break in your heart. That's what it felt like. And I thought, well, the Lord has taught me a lot of things. But through it all, we have learned to trust in the Lord much more than we did before. It's changed our whole vision, our whole outlook on our life. And actually, for me and my family, it has made our life so much better, the whole thing. And so I just thank the Lord. And again, it's like Job 23, he knows the way we take. He knows the type of person that we need to be. And he's fashioning us and making us. So if you can, don't despise your affliction, but just trust that God is in control and that you will see the other end of it. And I just thank him and praise him for his help to me. And, you know, I was reading in that book of Ecclesiastes where Solomon had said, the conclusion of the whole matter is to fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. And, you know, I have friends and family who are not saved, and they are so organized about things. You know, they have really good jobs and they do the jobs really well, and they have lovely homes, and that's really important to them. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's nice to have a nice home and things like that. But, you know, they have their pension sorted. As soon as their children are born, they're sorted out their education, where they're going to go, what they're going to do. And they're really organized about their whole life. And yet, they're not organized for what happens when they close their eyes on this earth and they're going to go into eternity. And, you know, I just really would plead with you to really grasp why we're here. We're not here to have a successful, you know, powerful, wealthy life and people to say, well, we're great, when we're in the casket and our souls have went to eternity. It doesn't matter about any of that. Whenever we finish this life and go into eternity, heaven or hell, this is our duty. God expects us to fear God and keep his commandments. And maybe you've never even come to that point where you realise that you are a sinner and you need to come to him first as a sinner and have your sins forgiven. And please don't be organised about everything. Have everything seen to, done everything right in this life when it's only a tiny, tiny bit of eternity. And I would just really trust, if I have not given you the impression that my Jesus is wonderful and that you have nothing to lose and everything to gain by coming to him in salvation tonight. I don't know how I could have went through my life without him, but I know for sure that I would never want to leave this life and go to the next without him. And I just really trust and pray that you will really grasp that tonight. That it isn't a life if it's a life without Jesus. And it certainly isn't an eternity if it's an eternity without Jesus. All you have to lose if you don't come to him in salvation is an eternity in heaven forever with Jesus. And all you have to gain is an eternity in hell without him forever. Please don't go out those doors tonight if you're not saved without coming to know my Jesus. Thank you.
Amen. May God bless those words to our hearts. Maybe we'll just unite together, please, in a word of prayer. And We're glad for Sister coming, bringing that word of testimony tonight. And God is good, and we rejoice in God's mercy to our hearts. I think of those words that our sister has been quoting, "He knoweth the way that I take, and when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold." I wonder what way you are taking. The Bible speaks about the broad road that leads to destruction and the narrow way that leads to life. But it says also that few there be that find it. And you need to find that way that leads to life. Where do you find it? Well, the Lord Jesus said, "I am the door." He's the way entrance that brings you in to that way of life. And you come and seek the Lord as your Saviour tonight. It's good to know a Saviour in the days of trouble and in the days of difficulty, one who is there to comfort you and bless you and to meet you at the point of your need. Now, I wonder today, where is your way taking you? Are you saved tonight? Are you washed in the precious blood of the Lamb? Do you know your sins forgiven? And do you know that you have that blessing of knowing the Lord's great salvation in your heart? Will you come tonight? Will you trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour? As we bow in prayer now, just ask the Lord to come into your heart and into your life. That's all you need to do. You need to confess your sins, and he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Just ask the Lord to come and take away your sins and wash you in his own precious blood, and he will. He'll do it right now. You can be saved right now where you sit in the seat tonight. But don't go away without the Lord Jesus Christ. Will you come and trust him, whom to know is life eternal? Our gracious God and our loving Father, we thank thee for thy word to our hearts tonight. We thank thee for our sister that brought the word of testimony. We thank thee for saving her. We bless thee that she came to thee young in life. We're glad, our God, that the youngsters, the boys and girls who are here tonight can come and trust thee. We thank thee, Lord, that those that are older can come and trust thee. And our God, we thank thee for bringing our sister through the difficulties that she's experienced. Put thy hand upon her bodily. We pray, Lord, for that strength and that help that she needs day by day. But our God, we thank thee that we have the Saviour. And Lord, we can place her hand in thy hand. Thou dost know the way that we take. And our God, we thank thee that when thou hast tried us, we come forth as gold. And our God, we thank thee for thy mercy to our hearts. We thank thee salvation is real. We bless thee, our God, for a new way of thinking when we know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Saviour. And we pray, Lord, that thou wouldst write thy word upon hearts, and thou wouldst bless our souls tonight. For it's in Jesus' precious name I would ask these things. Amen. And could I say to you tonight that if you don't know the Saviour, we'd be only too glad to help you in any way. Maybe you don't understand what our sister was talking about or what I'm talking about when I speak about being saved. What do you need to do? Well, come and speak to us or speak to some of the elders or some of the Christians that you know in the meeting tonight. We'd only too glad to help you in any way that we can. But it's great to have a Saviour. It's great to know that our sins are forgiven, that you have a Saviour to be with you in every time of need. And I hope that you know that tonight.